Vissers, wit zijn 300 drum, 5 stenses, 1, 2 en 3. 325. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart. Number 325, stenses 1, 2 en 3. From God's holy word, the Gospel of Matthew, the third chapter, Matthew 3. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judah and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid up unto the root of the trees, therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garden. But he will burn up the calf with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Thus far. We sing now number 280. 2, 3, and 4. 280. He with tender mercies crowns thee, satisfies the full request, so that like the tireless eagle, thou wilt youth renewed and are blessed. And what follows number 280, stanzas 2, 3, and 4.
Oh,
Beloved congregation, our first covenant had Adam had separated himself from the Lord and brought himself into such a deep abyss of sin and misery that every hope or expectation unto salvation is gone. That is, by virtue of our deep fall in Adam, that is gone forever and forever. But now that great wonder of God's sovereign and divine love that he has revealed instead of that first covenant head, an other covenant head of that second covenant, namely the covenant of grace. And it is of him that the Apostle Paul explained in Ephesians 1, verse 22nd, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And the contents of that text is that Christ is the representing head of the church in heaven before the face of his Father, and out of whom that the church received their life and also their increasing, in whom she possessed, namely in that head, Christ Jesus, the justification and sanctification. But it is also through Christ that they obtained the adoption of children, that they receive through Christ all blessings which they need for time and for eternity. As we hope to hear in this evening out of my text, which you find in the Gospel of Matthew, the third chapter, verse 13, 14, and 15. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him thus far. It is my intention in this evening to speak a while about the baptizing of Christ. And I will consider with you in the first place his request to be baptized. In the second place, the objections against his baptizing. And in the third place, the necessity of this baptizing. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized. That is, of course, for the second time that we read something as we find in our text. John the Baptist, he was born 6 months earlier than Christ. And John the Baptist, he was a man greater than Isaiah, greater than Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. There was no man born out of women greater than John the Baptist. And, of course, we have to answer that question, why? There must be, well, a special reason. And, indeed, that was also John the Baptist. He was standing on the border of the Old and New Testament. And he was the one who was privileged to prepare a way for Christ. He was the one who could refer to Christ immediately, as you find that in John 1, verse 29 and 34, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. The privilege that was never given to any of the prophets of the Old Testament. They have, of course, well prophesied about Christ, but they were never privileged to say to the people, behold, he is there standing in your midst. And that privilege that was given unto John the Baptist. But now he was also a man personally for himself, the same as Jeremiah. You read of the prophet Jeremiah that he was sanctified from his mother's womb. And maybe when you remember the sermons which are read by the elders so many years already, that you have heard one sermon of Joseph Irons, and that he say in some sermon that John the Baptist, that he was dancing before Christ before that he was born. Dancing in the womb of his mother. And that John the Baptist, he had a wonderful life separated from the whole world. He was never living in a palace. He was always dwelling in the wilderness. And he must have for himself also spiritually a wonderful life. in the communion with God. He became of not so old. He was very young when he died. He was all short time after that he was preaching. Then he was already taken away out of this world. And we know in what way that he was taken away. He was killed, of course, beheaded by Herod. But nevertheless, that man with that grace and with those privileges, he have to experience the same things as all God's children here below. And he have to learn it also for himself that it was free and sovereign grace. John the Baptist, he confessed twice in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, and I knew him not. And I knew him not. That means not that he had no knowledge of Christ historical, and that there was some knowledge out of the scriptures in his heart about Christ, and also what he had heard from other people. But still, that same John the Baptist, he needed for himself a personal revelation of Christ in his heart. And then that it is a one-sided work of the Lord, we can prove that with the Bible so clear, also in regard to the life of that John the Baptist. Because we find that also in that first chapter of John, the next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him. It was not the opposite, that John came to Christ. No, but John sees Jesus coming unto him. And that is now always the same from ourselves, and I hope especially our young and our coming generation, that they are so trained in that doctrine that they never can deny it, and that they forever, their whole life, will stay with that, that it is a one-sided work of the Lord, and that it is not in our power that we come to Christ, but Christ has to come to us people. He is a hidden and a concealed person for us. And we never shall have any knowledge of him, only when he revealed himself unto us. Now it happens with John the Baptist, he was baptizing on the river Jordan. And there came so many people. Oh, it was not the Billy Graham. No. He preached something different as it meant. But of course, John the Baptist, he received in a short time a great name and a great place. Because the whole city, Jerusalem, that goes out to Jordan. Does you see that the changing in regard to the laws, to the ceremonial laws given by Moses on the Mount of Sinai? Because it was now the time that the civil law and that the ceremonial law must be abolished. The time was now there. And now the people, they went not to the temple, to Jerusalem, but now John the Baptist, he was there standing as an ambassador of the Lord on that river to baptize the children and baptized men with the baptizing of repentance. And he was not such an easy man, that John the Baptist. No. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, they came also to him to be baptized. Soldiers came to him. All kind of people. But he was very upright. Generation of lies. That was what he said to the people, to those scribes and to those Pharisees. Behave, because they came out to the baptizing of John the Baptist, but there was something behind it. That was not that their guilt and their sin, that it so heavy was to their soul, but that was now only to become a name and to have a further in the church and before the people a name, that they are also were baptized by John. But that was not the right baptism, no. And for that reason, John the Baptist, he had uncovered that those generation of fighters. And he had told all the people what was necessary for the eternal welfare. Now Jesus, he also came from Galilee to Jordan, unto John to be baptized of him. This his request to be baptized. That is a strange case. That Christ now came to John the Baptist to be baptized. Was now the baptizing from John the Baptist necessary for Christ, yes or no? We baptize our children because they are not born as angels, but they are born in sin and conceived in iniquity. The sin of Adam is imputed to all our children. There is no exception. Never. One child that looks so nice, of course, they all look nice for the parents. Their own children. But by virtue of our deep fall in Adam, then they are subjects of the wrath of God from the moment that they entered into this world. And they need to be baptized. That water, that cannot take away the sins of our children. No. But that water in baptism that refers to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And baptism that had a great meaning. It is an institution. It is instituted by the Lord. And we believe what our fathers had taught us and instructed us, that baptism came in the place of circumcision. We believe. And that our children must be baptized. The Baptist people have always objected. And they say always, first, there is no text in the whole Bible. Second, there is no example. Third, they cannot understand it. And in the fourth place, they say, we need a Matthew first, believe and then baptize. That are in general the four objections of the baptized people against the baptizing of infants. Of course, And our boys and girls, they have to defend themselves. They have to know it. That is necessary that they could say to that baptized people, we need no text in the Bible. Because the baptism is coming in place of circumcision. And when the children were 8 days old, then they must be circumcised. And now our children must be baptized as soon as it is possible. You read that in the Institution of Calvin. He is in English as he can buy. And it is a very nice work for our young people. You are better with that as with the car. Read. But we baptize our children, as I have told you, because it is an institution of the Lord. But at the other hand, it is now a sacrament to be engrafted in the church, but baptizing make us not a living member of the church. That is only by regeneration and by the work of the Holy Spirit. We have wonderful experience sometime, and the father of most of our congregations, Ledeboer, it is known out of his life that he baptized sometimes children, and that the Lord revealed in his heart while he was baptizing that they were chosen by the Lord. It happens in one family four times that he say it already in the consistory room. That he say that child that I have to baptize this afternoon, that is one of the chosen ones. And they died all in the infancy, all those four children. The oldest one was, I think, 11 or 13 years old. And as he gives such a testimony of the grace of the Lord that was in their heart, wonderful. And a child of 9 years old, oh, she saw that dead body of her sister, and she said to their mother, I am so jealous to my sister that she is before the throne of God and the Lamb. Oh, she said, I want to die, and she died immediately. Yes, she died also. And a little one of 7 years old, he gave also later on a testimony, and a one from 5 years old, that are exceptions. But the Lord, we have that in the Bible, of course, the Lord, he is working in generations. You have some generations that the Lord works wonderful amongst them. And the Lord skips sometime over some generations, but later on then he comes back. We can prove that with the Bible, but of course we have no time to do it in this evening. We have to come back to our text. But what is now the meaning of baptism? What the meaning of baptism that is that we need? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friends, we can never die with religion. We cannot die with religion and with the profession of the truth. But we need a new heart and a new spirit. We have to know regeneration, the work of the Lord in our heart personally. That he glorified himself in our hearts. That we are washed and cleansed from all our sins. And that we also receive a right to life eternal. But now Christ, what shall we do with that request of Christ now? Christ, he was without original sin, and he was also without actual sin. Not in the amongst his friends, but in the midst of his greatest enemies, then he was speaking there so with boldness and free, that he said, who is now amongst us who convinced me of sin? And then there was nobody that had to say any words. Never. And I go further with you. When Christ was brought for Pilate, for that worldly judge, when you look it up, children, in the evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the four evangelists, then you will find there how many times that Pilate there declared that Christ was innocent, without guilt, 7 times. You can find that 7 times in the Bible. And that means 7, that is a perfect number. That means now that Christ was without any sin. Even when he died on the cross, then there was a cap. He said, this man was righteous. The murderer and the thief on the cross, he also declared that Christ was righteous. And still, Christ came to John the Baptist with that request to be baptized of him. But what is now the meaning of it? We read of Christ in Philippians 2 verse 8 that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. And we can see that from the beginning of his life here on earth to the end, that it goes with him from glory to humility. Time and again, from the glittering height to the darkest depths. From Bethlehem to Egypt, from the temple at the house of his father to Nazareth, from whence never was come any prophet. And here again, out of that quiet isolation, in the house of his parents, without that he had any sin, that he was polluted with any sin, now he came to the baptizing of sins, to the baptism of sins, to baptizing of repentance, to the forgiveness of sins. And why? Because he was the head of the church. He represented the whole church. And what is now the church in himself? The church that is in himself, nothing else than condemnable on account of the sins and of the transgressions. When the Lord open our eyes, congregation, then our whole life is nothing else than a sinning against the Lord. We can do nothing else in our life than grieving the Lord. That is our whole life. We are sinners.
It is too bad that we know it here and that we confess it here, but now to know it here. Now to know it in our heart, people, that is a different story. And that is only the work of the Lord to do that. Oh, the whole world in our days is so religious. So religious. There are thousands and thousands converted people. And without knowledge of their sin. If you ask, were your eyes ever wet that you have sinned against an holy, a righteous, and a good Lord? They have no knowledge of it. And I tell you another thing. Oh, my beloved friends, we can, in our own power and strength, pass not one tear in our eyes without the power, the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit. If we have to merit salvation, and that we have to cry for that, and to pray for that, and to wrestle for that, oh, then I tell you from this pulpit, then it is a hopeless dream. It is a hopeless case. You ask God's people, and then all that people, and there's now a difference between all the hypocrites and God's children. And I believe there is some amongst us, all that is played time and again, that they are hypocrites. There is some people sitting here that have so much trouble with it, that they say inwardly, you are a big hypocrite. It was better that you stay out of that church. Yes, but now for the people that is bothering with that, I say something. Oh, and I hope that the Lord confirm it by his Holy Spirit to the soul. Now, a hypocrite, he is always boasting of what he has. Always. But now a poor sinner, there's always complaining about what there is left in him. And a poor sinner does never agree with himself. Oh, maybe his men, I hope so. Oh, I hope you was it too. I hope it. That you have never saved a word in the world to anybody, even to your own life. Afraid of it. But not silent in regard to the Lord. Not silent in regard to the Lord. Oh, when you are alone, oh, when you are separated, that you say, oh, Lord, oh, I tell you from the bottom of my heart, but the rest of them I am, but the rest of men. Oh, Lord, that I live here in the world, oh, it had no sense. You come sometime to that end, You come sometime to that lowest place. And you say, Lord, why? Why was I born here in the world? Why was I brought in here in the world? Because when we look into ourselves, and are all so uncomforted, so uncomforted, and so hard, oh, harder as the brick of that church, harder of the brick of that church. Because when they give me tomorrow an instrument, a sharp and a heavy instrument, to bring that church here down, oh, I will try to do it. I will try to do it. And maybe I cannot wear it because I have never done it in the world. But, oh, maybe after years, and that's just, that was down. But now that heart here. Now that heart, people. Oh. It is impossible. But oh, that blessed mediator, that excellent Christ, he humbled now himself to place himself instead of those sinners who have nothing else than sin. Oh, my dear friends, His grace is so wide as the ocean. If we are sinners in truth and uprightness, oh, what is now the matter here? That we have no sin enough, and that we are so righteous and such big Pharisees in our own eyes. That's now bothering. Oh, even I tell you something out of that is that private life of that people. Oh, I tell you something, and that is enough for tonight. Oh, sometime that the Lord brings down for a while, for some minutes, that people. Really. That they say, Lord. Now I want to stay my whole life. But after 2 minutes, there is a Pharisee that is with us again there. And he spoiled everything. And there's now the trouble. Time and again. He spoiled something on the Pope, if you believe. He spoiled something on the Pope. Oh, you cannot see it, people. But, oh, I am standing in the midst of the devils. Oh, and also the angels are out about them who fear the Lord. But, oh, many times as the devils go with me on those steps here. That the devils go with me on the steps. Tis something. And now Christ, he came to John to be baptized. Oh, he never has had done any sin. But still now in the stead of his people, he became sin for them. He became sin for them. And he would now be baptized. Oh, not that he need repent for himself, but for that people. Because over all those them that came into the world, that he came into this world, that were now all unconverted people, and they must be converted. But now in the second place, the objections about against their baptizing. Oh, John, when he saw Christ come, and that he laid for him that request to baptize in Christ. Oh, he was scarce, that man. He was scarce. He forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me. Oh, that John the Baptist, he was not a person I meant. No, he was not high-minded, but he was a man who was dwelling in dust and ashes before the Lord. And that is a wonderful life, people. That is a wonderful life. Oh, Erskine said in one of his sermons, we are all climbers in a tree. That is our life by nature. But oh, now that blessing to have small and low thoughts of ourselves. there's a profitable life, and that was now it's John the Baptist. Oh, when he saw Christ come as the Son of God, as the Lamb of God, as the King of Israel, oh, then he thought, oh, I am blessed that he comes to me. Oh, to learn something of him, to receive something of him. But no, he never had any thoughts that Christ would come to him to be baptized of him. No. He had such high thoughts about that mediator and that savior. And then, oh, he refused to baptize Christ. That was now the same as in John 13. You know what there is in John 13, children, what history? You know? There you read about Christ, that he was washing the feet of his disciples. Yes, and then Peter. Oh, all what you read about that man, you have to love. You have to love. And then Christ came with a beckon to cry to Peter. But Peter, he said, no, not in eternity, never. Oh, no, if you ask me to wash your feet 1,000 times, then I am willing. But that you shall wash my feet, no. Never, never. Oh, he could not see people that Christ came on his knees to wash his feet. He thought, I am so unworthy. No. And now the same thing we see here by John the Baptist. The same thing. Oh, he said, no, I cannot do it. I cannot accept to baptize you. Oh, it is necessary that you baptize me. You can understand the objection of John the Baptist. You can understand it. But, of course, another point is, was it now right? That's John the Baptist, that he refused it. No. That was not right, because there was a necessity of baptizing for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was hard for John the Baptist that persuaded him that he had to baptize Christ. But of course, it was his duty. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he said to John, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. That was the contents of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no other way for that mediator, before that he came into his public service, that he must be baptized by John the Baptist. And now in our third point in this evening, we have the necessity of that baptizing and the overruling of all those objections. And now Christ, he did one thing, but another thing is he did not. Christ, he said, suffer it to be so now. And that means now this, Christ accepted well his humility, but he did not accept his refusal. Oh, I believe
that Christ, when John spoke those words, that the Lord Jesus, that he loved that man more and more. But on the other hand, it was necessary for John the Baptist that he had to baptize Christ. And now Christ, in the state of his humiliation, he had emptied himself, made himself of no reputation, and he was found as a man in the likeness of each and every man, and for thus it becomes us to fulfill, as Christ said here in that text, all a righteousness, or to fulfill all righteousness, that is, to own every divine institution, and to show his readiness to comply with all God's righteous precepts. It was, of course, instituted by the Lord, and all the people that must be baptized, all the people need repentance and conversion, because the righteousness of the Lord requires that. We cannot be saved without the glorification of the righteousness of the Lord. In other words, I tell you something else, and then you can better understand maybe the meaning of the words. We cannot die without conversion. We cannot appear before the Lord with some texts, with some lines out of a psalter. That is impossible. We need another foundation. We need Christ and him crucified. The Lord must be satisfied in his justice. And that now to fulfill all righteousness, There is but only way to be restored in the fellowship and communion with the Lord. And that is only through the justice and righteousness of the Lord. And then to be baptized. John the Baptist, he baptized not the children and men as we do. No. No. We does it by sprinkling. But now John the Baptist, he baptized all those people in the River Jordan. They had to bow down. And he brought them over the wall. In Holland, as I was saying, a verloren en afgesneden zak. Och, a lost and undone sinner cut off from everything. Our place is in heaven. Our place is in heaven. But now through the righteousness of God. God is it who justifies. Not Christ, no. But God is it who justifies the first person in the Holy Trinity. And that's now the trouble in our day, so many of us people. Oh, they are all talking about Christ. And then they have so many nice texts out of the Bible. But if you ask, where was now that time that you came, that the Lord touched you, that the Lord stopped you? Where was now the time in your life that you say, Lord, I am worthy to send to hell. I am worthy that the Lord take me away, that he cast me away forever and ever. And now, that righteousness that must be satisfied, that justice must be satisfied, that is impossible by our work, but now only by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that only. And that must now be revealed, then the Lord has to make room in our hearts for it, and the Lord, he has to apply it to our soul. And that's now the whole case. Christ must be baptized.
It was to fulfill all righteousness, as that he said, and then finally, then he suffered him. Don't you under baptized, he go backwards. He accepted. Because the way in which we must be saved, people, that is a way against flesh and blood. And even John the Baptist, he know that enmity in his heart draws that way. Or, in other words, you know what it is here, people. Towards the way of salvation, ordained in the word of God, our whole life it is most of the time the fighting against it. But oh, what a blessing when the Lord conquered us, when the Lord brings us out, that we accept and that we say, Lord, now it is done. And then you read in the Bible, then he suffered him. He baptized Christ. And so far it had to come with us to people. We have not to baptize Christ, you must say, yes. We have to do the same thing as John the Baptist, to accept Christ in the state of his humiliation. Because there is no other name given under heaven whereby he must be saved. And our wisdom and our knowledge have to go away and to take it away. And that the Lord give us that grace that we agree with his way in which we will be saved. And that is nothing else than lost and undone sinner before the Lord, worthy to cast away in hell. And that we have nothing to pay and nothing to bring up but then guilt and sin, but now saved by free and sovereign grace. And that's now the meaning of the baptizing of Christ. I shall close my sermon for this evening and this day. But I hope, oh, I hope that the Lord gives us an insight in those things so serious and so necessary to know, will it be well for our soul for eternity. You have seen the baptizing of children, of parents. You must not think that is now enough. No. You must not think it is now enough and now it is done. No. But now it starts. Now it's dust. And how shall you live now with your children? How shall you live? How many times every week of the day that you bear your children in your prayers before the Lord? And when is it heavy to your heart that you say, Lord, have mercy? Oh, most of the time there's only the world and how they come through this world. But I say tonight, this evening, oh, it is seldom that we have children. You know it, what that means? It is seldom that we have children. Oh, if it is once in a year, then we are left. Read. If it is once in a year, then it is tied to and bound to our hearts. Because most of the time, oh, we cannot remember our children in prayer. But oh, most of the time it is so dry. And it is because, yeah, it is a custom. Nothing else, if we be honest. But that it is now as with supplication. And that it is now as with feeling of our heart. And that it binds us to the throne of grace. That we have any feeling of it in our heart, that is a different story. Oh, the Lord remember us. And there is no other name, people, given under heaven to be saved than only that name of Christ. And now his humiliation, that is now necessary to satisfy the justice of God. Of what shall it be, person? What shall it be? Where we are perished and lost under such a gospel and under so many labors,
bestowed upon us, what shall it be?
If we have to appear before that judgment,
and that our own children's self shall condemn us, and that they would say, oh, Father, you never were a father to me,
and you never were a mother to me. Yes, because soon then it is reality. But the Lord brings us out of free suffering grace, where we never can bring ourselves. Where we never can bring ourselves. And that it becomes an hopeless case. And as soon as it becomes an hopeless case, then the Lord shall reveal that gospel. Manifest Christ unto us. And his blood that washes and cleanses from all our sins. Amen. Number 271, the first and the last stanza, of mercy and of justice my thankful song shall be. And what follows, 271, stanzas 1 and 3. Thank you.